Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's so awesome. All right, I'm going to go ahead and start this morning with a word of prayer, and then we're just going to go on with the class. Sounds good? Father, thank you for this time, for today, for your presence in this place, in this room. Thank you, Lord. My heart, mine goes back to Acts 2, and we're just so privileged, Lord, for being counted worthy to have you live, dwell, reside on the inside of us, within us. Thank you, Father, for healing made sure by the stripes of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that finished work. And thank you, Father, because we're just recipients of your grace. And we just say thank you, Lord. We're just so grateful, honored to be your children. Thank you, Father, for the word which is going to go out and go forth in power. Thank you, Lord, because it brings light, illumination, and understanding. Thank you, Father, because hearts get touched, hearts and minds get transformed by the truth inherent in your word as it concerns healing. And above all, I just thank you for manifestations present in this room this morning. We say thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and glory as we give this time to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, so this morning, I'm led to highlight one or two testimonies that we've received along the lines of what we've been discussing here at Healing Class. We've been talking about authority and power in expression. Morning. We're talking about authority and power in expression, and the whole purpose of that message, focus of that concept, a topical issue that we've been contemplating, looking at, is to see how that when Jesus was here on earth, the synopsis or a brief description which describes his ministry while he was on the face of the earth, we see as a caption in the book of Acts and 10, verse 38. How many know what's in there? Acts 10, 38. Popular passage of scripture. This is Healing Class. Anyone? Morning. You can come up front. There's room up front. Praise God. Hallelujah.
So he was healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them.
How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with what? With what?
With power.
Nope. Take a look at it, please. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with what? If your Bible says power alone, can I see your hand? Your version says with power and doesn't mention the Holy Ghost?
Oh, Holy Ghost.
Okay, hallelujah. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. And he went about doing what?
Good.
Doing good.
And healing all that were oppressed.
And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. It says what? For God was with him. So just a few things in there. I'm already teaching them. I must read these as we go on today, which is fine, which is awesome. So essentially today I'm just going to be continuing on authority and power in expression and how our focus has been on the doing aspect as sons and daughters of the Most High, as children of God. And we talked about how that this is not just, okay, us just stepping out and doing in our own power, in our own volition, as it were, but it's based on something we received, who we received, and the mandate which is given to us as believers. How many know that we are healed, and we're not just healed, we in turn are what? Healed healers. Do you Did you hear me say that? We're not just healed, but the recognition of the fact and the truth that we're healed, the understanding of this truth, appreciation of it, recognizing it, makes us see and understand that we are also sent, we are also called to do what? To heal. And I did add at this juncture, just as an aside, to be honest, I asked a question last week. If you personally are not feeling well in your body, does that disqualify you from, as a child of God, from ministering healing to someone else in need?
No.
The scripture says if you pray for
One another, you may be healed.
Hallelujah. So that tells me, friends, that we ought to look beyond who? Because guess what? We'll get to this later on. There gets to a point, friends, where we line up a barrage of what? Something I call excuses. Sorry, brother. Go ahead.
See, you said this before, and I've heard all this a lot. I have trouble. I feel, because I walk around with that walker and a cane and everything else, and it feels awkward to me to want to go up and pray for somebody and say, I'll pray for your healing. Because they look at me and say, well, if it was work, you wouldn't be walking that way.
All right.
So I'm kind of fearful to do it.
Even though
we keep saying you can, I feel awkward.
Okay, amen. And that's a very valid point. And please, if you don't remind me before this class is over, I want to encourage anyone in this room to ensure that we get back to that exact point, because it's later on in the message for today, and we have to look at that, okay? And I'd love to hear you speak. You've mentioned the word, the key word there starts with F. We'll talk about that, okay? Well, was that a thought or a question?
In the Bible, when Jesus died, he said that Jesus saved others, but why can't he save himself?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
Right. After healing and doing all of that.
Right.
From the mouth of babes, right?
Amen.
Okay, so, and there was reason for that. But the point was, in his lifetime, he healed at the cross. He got that fulfilled, stamped, sealed, and then healing became available. And by faith, friends, we key into that. First, primarily by way of salvation, and then it becomes, we step into that experience. We'll get to that. We'll come to that point, okay? So we're at Acts 10:38. One key thing there is, as I mentioned in the last message, I want us to always keep this in mind. Friends, I've been through God's word. I can't see authority without power. One, I can't see authority without power, because there's always power. That power backs up authority. Otherwise, authority is not authority if it's without power. You know, one. Two, this is just a recap, some of the things we've been going over. Two, I don't know about you, but you can always let me know. I have never been able to contemplate the Holy Ghost without power. I don't know if you can. When you think of the Holy Spirit, when you think of the person of the Holy Spirit, okay, can you contemplate? Can you think about the Holy Ghost? Have you seen in Scripture the Holy Ghost being without power?
No.
So, friends, as we saw last week, it's the power of what? The Holy Spirit. We looked at Acts 1:8 and how that people have taken that to say, oh, focus and emphasis on power, but it's not just about power, it's about the person. In which, as it were, this power is what? Cocooned, embodiment of power. Whether you take it from Genesis 1, from the very beginning as far as creation, to the cross, to us now. I'm just saying this as nuggets as we go on. Now it says, he went about doing good. So he set a picture, set a template during his walk, his ministry here on earth, the emphasis on doing good. And what was the doing good? Healing what? Not some, but healing all who were what? Oppressed of who? The devil. So it's also key in our walk here on earth, in our understanding, that we realize that sickness, disease, ailments, pains, all those things do not emanate from the Father, do not come from God. We cannot ascribe those to God. Because there are some, there are many who say that God places XYZ on me so that I can or may learn certain lessons, or that I may be taught, or that I may be schooled, or that I may be corrected in certain areas. God does not, and I'm saying this boldly, does not inflict with sickness, disease, does not oppress with any such thing. James 1 says he's not tempted with evil, neither does he tempt anyone. And then as far as, because people look at it and say, oh, trials, testing, different words, vagaries, imperception, trying to ascribe to God who he is not. And the proper understanding of God lets us know this, makes it clear. Okay, his thoughts towards us are thoughts of what? And not of what? Always. Now, if it was not the will of God that we be healed, then remember how it said in that passage, it says what? Good. Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed. Oppression is of the devil. Let's get it clear. Oppression is of the devil. It says at the end of it, it says what? God was with him. So in the doing, which was healing all who were oppressed, God was with him, indicating what? The heart of the Father as it relates to that matter. So the heart of the Father is that all be what? Healed.
Thank you, Lord.
That's his will. That's his good, acceptable, and perfect will, all rolled into one, not as far as different stages or levels, but his heart towards you is good. His heart towards you is healing and health and walking in divine health. All right.
Walking in divine.
So Jesus gave us a template to do. We had great, powerful testimonies last week. We'll continue on along those lines and then get into the key portion for today's message. Let me read a couple of these. This came in and says, Melissa, my daughter, had pain in her right leg. She went to the ER and had no relief even after going there. I prayed concerning her. She woke up the next day, and that pain was gone. So she spoke. There was distance. She wasn't there physically with the daughter, but just spoke the word. Have we been talking about speaking? How many have been speaking in authority in this room? How many have been exercising their authority by way of speaking boldly, by way of proclamation, by way of issuing commands?
Command.
Command imperatives, as we've been learning. Okay, let's look at another. You know what? I'll just spend time on. It says I had been dealing with a migraine for 4 days on and off. Now, a House on the Rock member, she mentions the name, prayed that it will be gone. So this is someone that had been dealing with a migraine for a number of days and had someone here pray with her in the name of Jesus. The migraine left and did not return. So migraines, by the power of God, dealt with. Someone took authority, took a stand, spoke life as concerns that situation here. Bang. Received. I'll take this last one. They're numerous. Just pull these out, and I want to keep encouraging us to send these in as you experience victory in different facets in your life, in your walk. Because this gives glory to who? All the time. Glory to God, and then encouragement to who? To others, to the body. Because there are great things happening in the midst, and it will not be great if we're not sharing what's happening here. And today, I'm going to have a brother share something a little later on as well. Hallelujah.
Hi, sorry for
bothering you. You're welcome.
Right here?
Yeah, you may. On each side or right here in the middle, it's up to you. Mm-hmm. There's room right there in the middle.
I hope none of you guys bite.
Well, you're welcome to House on the Rock Church.
Amen.
This is healing class.
Amen.
My name is Pastor Sean, and we love Jesus and we love God here, and we're just sharing his truth.
Amen.
All right, praise God.
Praise God.
All right, one more testimony, and we go on this morning. Hallelujah. And 2009, I was diagnosed with glaucoma. And they gave me a choice of using the surgery, something to do with the eyes, or having laser surgery. Okay, so drugs or laser surgery. Now, permit me, it's the writing, but that's fine. So it slowed down for a period, and I have been dealing with this. It says I went for the last 10 years. I've been having my eyes looked at and checked over time. Test performs, everything would look off, but there was still concern that my eyes would get worse. So it was looking a little better, but there were concerns that eyes would get worse. So last year, in December 2018, as I said, I pulled this out just to emphasize a few of the points we've been going through at healing class. I went to my regular for my regular eye exam, and basically, doctor told me that the eyes were in fact getting worse, and that I should see a glaucoma specialist. I put off going to see a specialist because I was afraid of the report. Finally, in June 2019, I made an appointment. I kept talking to my eyes and believing for healing of glaucoma. I went to the appointment telling Jesus, "You don't have glaucoma. I don't have glaucoma." So she was having a conversation with the Lord in this matter. She had been speaking in that regard. Okay, and so went through all the exams that day and waited for the results, still believing for a good report. The doctor came into the exam room and said, "You do not have glaucoma. There are no signs of it. Praise God." So she had been diagnosed, "Oh, you have this with one eye. You know what? The prognosis wasn't good. You know what? One is affected. And you know what they'll say about the other. You know, it's only a matter of time, so to speak." And then for a long period of time, had carried this. And I believe strongly that she was standing in that regard. And so eventually he said, "You know what? This is getting worse. You need to have it checked out." Made the appointment. And initially there was what?
Fear.
Who noticed that word? Fear.
Yeah.
There was that word fear, which held back from, okay, making the appointment. Why? Because of the report. I'm afraid to hear what the report will be.
Yeah.
Okay? And so made the appointment in faith and then started believing and then started speaking concerning the eyesight, concerning that situation, rather. Went in for the exam. And then she was told that, "Oh, you know what? As a matter of fact, you don't have it." She was basically cleared. Okay? And that's just awesome. And I wanted to highlight that as an example of what we've been talking about in the area of speaking. Now, I said that to say this. Friends, in a sense of speaking, in a manner of speaking, it doesn't really matter what that situation is. Is there anything too difficult, too hard for the power of God? Is there any situation or any circumstance that we can say, "Oh, you know what, Lord? I know you're great. I know you're awesome and everything. But concerning this matter, I think this one is a stretch for you. Lord, I just think, you know, this one's just a little beyond you." Now, we may not say that verbally with our mouth, but sometimes in our thinking, this comes up.
Yeah.
Where we think, "Oh, this is so hard." You know, and we looked at several examples, you know, in Bible. So, we've been called to do. I believe we ended last week by saying that, looking at Mark 16. I know by way of the recap, I went into Acts, talked about Acts 1:8, Acts 2:4, talked about the first message by Peter, and how that, you know, salvation comes through Jesus and, you know, the call to salvation and all of that. And then we talked about what Jesus had said before he left as concerns greater works. Initially during his ministry, John 14:12, "The works that I do and greater works than these shall you do." Why? "Because I'm going to the Father." And he went to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the birth of the church and all that that entails. Let's look at Mark in chapter 16. As we continue on this morning, Mark 16. Mark Mark chapter 16 from verse 15.
What verse did you say?
Mark chapter 16.
Verse.
From verse 15.
15, okay.
And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news, the gospel to every creature. Now, I want to emphasize something here real quickly, because there are some that hold the belief that, as far as, for example, the things we looked at last week, the healings that occurred, because I said how that going out and doing is not the exclusive preserve of, it's not just, oh, only Jesus did that. Oh, only the apostles could do that. Oh, by way of stretching, only the pastors can do that. It's not the exclusive preserve of the pastor. It's something that, as believers, that we have all been called to, as a matter of fact. Okay? Now, in looking at this passage, because there are many that hold that, oh, as far as the miracles, as far as healings and signs and wonders and all of that stuff, that ended, that expired with the apostles. Okay? And so we went, you know, there are many that hold that. And we went into Acts 6, we went through the book of Acts. We talked about how table servers also got in on the act because they had the Holy Spirit filled with power. We talked about Stephen, talked about Philip, talked about Ananias and several. Now, but look at this. This is something I want us to see in Scripture. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he who what?
Believes.
He who believes. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. And he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. Verse 17, and these signs will follow who?
Those who believe.
And these signs will follow who?
Those who believe.
These signs will follow only the apostles.
Yep.
No. Where does that say that?
It's important to understand, to see this clearly. It says, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will what? Cast out demons. They will what? Speak with new tongues. They will take up what? Serpents. And if they drink anything what? Deadly, it will by no means hurt them. I'm saying that, in other sense, the plans of the enemy concerning your life, guess what happens with those plans? Directly, indirectly, surreptitiously, however it is, those plans get what? Thwarted. Canceled out.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Regardless. All right. That's just something that came to my heart, came to my mind. Since they will lay hands on the sick and what? They will recover. I believe King James says, and they shall recover. This is the remit given to us. This is the preserve of every man, woman, boy, girl who's born again, who's saved. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. He didn't say we'll chase after these signs. He didn't say we'll pursue after them. What did they say about these signs? They will follow the believer. In other words, they will punctuate your life. That is, they will be visible, they will be apparent in every facet, every aspect in your walk in this life. It'll be there because it follows. Questions? Thoughts?
I like in verse 22, Pastor, it says again, the Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by the attesting signs.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Follow means You're leading, but the signs follow. So that means you're You're constantly working and walking with the Lord, and you keep your eye on the Lord, and it always glorifies the Lord because it's following. You're following you, you know? You don't have to look back because you know that you have belief that the sick is healed or there's miracles.
Hallelujah.
And I want to do that so badly.
Amen. All right, and I'll respond to that. You want to do that so badly? I'll come right to that point.
But what she said, the word follow, the first thing that popped in my mind was what you speak, all these things will follow. We speak, and especially if we speak the word of God coming out of us, all these different things that I just mentioned will follow us, and they're ours to receive. We just got to speak it and believe it.
So you speak, you believe, you receive. As concerns yourself, you can look at Mark 11 in that regard.
Just like Jesus said, you can have whatsoever you say.
Amen. That's from the passage I just mentioned, Mark 11, I believe, 23, thereabout, 23, 24. Now, that's concerns speaking. Now, Holly.
Yes, sir.
What was that last comment you said? Because last week I then went ahead to ask if we had praise reports in the midst, as far as in speaking and seeing manifestation of healing. Because if this is not just the exclusive preserve of apostles, or this is not just something we see in Bible, because I dared to mention last week that the book of Acts as a book isn't closed because guess what? You and I, we are still here in this world. Ever wondered why you got saved and you didn't get zapped out? That exact moment.
Yeah.
Ever wondered why?
Because we have a purpose.
Preach the gospel.
There's a plan.
Preach the gospel. Someone talking about purpose.
Lay hands on the sick.
Lay hands on the sick.
Testimony.
And they shall recover. Testimony. And you see when the book of Acts, the whole book, Bible talks about the word of God spreading, and with it, power and manifestation. It says, great grace was upon them, on the church. So, in going out to preach the gospel, the undiluted word of God, as it concerns Jesus, not about behavioral patterns and changing lifestyles and, oh, you do this, don't do this, and whatnot. That's not the gospel. There's something specific that the gospel is. And it concerns Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through verse 3. The Apostle Paul highlights it specifically. There's something that the gospel is. And inherent in the gospel, where that is preached, where that is taught, power goes forth with it. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God unto what? Unto salvation. In 1 Corinthians 15, as I mentioned earlier on, he talks about, Paul said about, I delivered to you first and foremost that which I also received. How that Christ died in accordance with the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that the third day he rose again from the dead in what? In accordance with the scriptures. There's something specific that the gospel is. It's good news.
Yes.
And he died for a purpose.
My teaching and preaching was not words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of
power.
You already know the rest.
Demonstration of what? The Spirit and of power.
Spirit.
I have told you. You see the Spirit, Holy Spirit? You see power. That was 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 and 2. Thank you, brother. So let's circle back now. Let's get back here. So with the preaching of the gospel, so we're left here to preach the gospel, yes. To evangelize, yes. And with that also, to heal the sick. To heal the sick.
Praise you, Jesus. Oh.
And ours, friends, is that part of obedience in doing what he's called us to do.
Yes.
Ours is not. How many turn on the TV and there used to be a show I used to watch years ago when I first came here. I came to the United States in 2010, December 2nd, 2010. I used to watch when I first came, I used to watch a show, a TV thing or series called Investigate. There's a channel, whether it's a channel or whether it's whatever, I can't really remember now. So ours is not to try and investigate. Because sometimes we get, I don't know whether it's curious mind or whatever, we want to investigate and see the nitty-gritty, okay, how you want to get into the person and figure out how this is going to, how that limb is going to grow or how that cancer is going to die. You want to, no. Ours is not to investigate. Ours is to what? They lay hands on that individual and see manifestation of healing or speak a word in power and authority and believe for an effect, a manifestation. Ours is to walk in obedience to what Jesus said.
Walk in obedience.
Severally. And I can share testimony after testimony. Mm-hmm. And I know that we have testimonies in this room as well. What I refer to as praise reports. Anyone here with one? This morning. Because guess what, friends? As Jesus did, we're called to do. It says, freely we have received, we should do what? Freely what? Well, freely we receive, freely we should what? Give. It's not ours to just hold on to and to sit on. But here's what's going on, friends. For the most part, I guess the question is, are we doing?
Yeah.
And if we're not doing, why are we not
doing?
So it's a double, you can address it. I'm actually asking, it's not rhetorical. Are we stepping out? I mean, back in the day, we say, oh, I'm not in this church. We say, oh, someone said, oh, we're not seeing manifestations. Oh, we're not seeing healings. We're not. And my response was, are you doing? First off, before we get into the analysis, are you stepping out in faith? Are you being used of God in this way?
I see the testimony. I was just online looking, and there's a foreign country. There was literally a dead man in a casket, and they all gathered around him, and they were praying for him to rise from the dead. He rose.
Hmm. Amen.
He rose, but he was like staggering when they pulled him out because he didn't know what was really going on.
Hmm.
And then they said, get him some food to eat.
Amen.
So, yes, God can raise people from the dead. You just got to believe it.
Hallelujah. You got to do it.
Well, faith and action prove, yes.
I prayed for a little kid in the grocery store. His hand was broken, but I didn't see anything. But I showed, you know, kindness and love.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we'll get to that point. And I'll ask a question in this regard. Yes, Gail.
My daughter was having vertigo a few days ago, and so I went home after babysitting and prayed for her at home. She's not one that really likes me to lay hands on her, but she got so bad that she wanted me to come back and spend the night for Senna. So I went back, and I was just so mad that I just reached out and laid hands and told it to go, and she was fine the next
day. Hallelujah. Praise God.
As Curry Blake says, he says, don't wait till you think you know what you're doing. Just step out and do it.
Hallelujah.
God can turn everything
good.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for sharing that, Gil. Yes.
Yeah. When they first got that commission in 16, they weren't born again.
As far as?
Yeah.
Amen.
Because it hadn't been poured out yet.
Amen.
But still they could. Jesus gave them that commission. Do this.
Hallelujah.
This will happen.
Hallelujah.
So I think we put too many restrictions on
us.
Word is, and the Holy Spirit are going to do the work.
So why though? Why is it that?
I think it's like fear-based.
Fear-based.
We don't want to offend somebody or have them react badly towards us.
React badly towards us? Okay.
Yeah.
Amen. Did you notice something in there in that response, Natalie? That was awesome. Do you know why most times, friends? why we're not doing?
People's perceptions of us.
Perception.
Fear of man.
Of what?
How they feel about us.
Perception.
Rejection.
Do you know? Okay, thank you.
They feel about us.
Okay, you feel?
Maybe
thank you.
You are like thinking about what other people are going to think about you when you do that thing.
Okay, how, what they're going to think about you when you do that?
Rejection.
Oh, it won't work. Okay. Yeah. Oh, it won't work, right? So now, if it doesn't work, what's that? You know, let's do this, friends. So let's talk about if it doesn't work. At the end of it, if you stretch that analysis, if it doesn't work, so what does that mean? What's the end result of if it doesn't work?
Keep doing it.
No. I'm not talking about what you ought to do. But I'm saying when we look at that analysis, we've had great responses. And there's a word that we've been saying. So when we look at that analysis of what if it doesn't work, who, in quote, is under scrutiny? No, not the dad. So here it is, friends. All those thoughts, all those responses that we just gave, there's a two-letter word in there, us. There's a two-letter word in there, me. So at the end of it, friends, no, I'm just being real, friends. I'm just being real. At the end of it, at the core, the root of it all, at the end of the day, I can go around the room and we give responses. We can take the responses of everybody in this church and everybody around the area and whatnot. At the end of it, the reason why we don't do, the reason why we're not doing, most times when we look, when we numb it down, when we take it down to the root, it's about us.
Yeah.
It's about us.
Yeah.
Because all the while, we're looking at us. Our focus is us. Directly, indirectly, consciously, or unconsciously. What would they think about me if that limb doesn't grow? What if that heart doesn't start beating or whatever? Or that cancer doesn't die? But the man of God came to the hospital and prayed for 2 hours straight. And the person still passed. What would the spouse think? Oh, and that brother came to my house and said, this fever or whatever, be gone in the name of Jesus, or this migraine or whatnot, and it doesn't happen. At the end of the day, when we go through that analysis in our hearts and our minds, it's us at the center. How, what they feel about me, what they feel about us, what they're going to think, how will I look, how do I even look? I'm coming to pray and I'm shivering myself. In the name of Jesus, brother, be healed. But I'm shivering.
Or just anticipation, though.
Because you're priding yourself because you don't want to look bad.
You know what, brother?
Don't want to look bad.
You know what, brother? I couldn't say it any put it better than that. You don't want to look bad.
And God hates pride.
You know? So what does that say to us then? Who should we be looking at?
Jesus.
And you know, we say this over and over and over again, but here's what I'm saying this morning. It goes beyond us saying it. It behoves us to actually do it. That is, have our focus, our gaze, our attention on Jesus and choosing to walk in obedience instead of being in fear and in doubt. Natalie, thank you for that word. Thank you for that word, brother. At the root of it is fear. But when you look at what that fear is based on, it can't hold up. Yes, sir?
You used the word fear, but there's another word that comes to mind with me.
Please share it.
It's doubt.
Doubt.
And you say the word me or us when you were talking about the power follows us as we're believers.
Mm-hmm.
I look back and I don't see nobody following me. He's back there. That's the Lord. That's the power. In order to get that power to work, it's got to go through you. That's where the word comes in. You have to bring it in you. That's the light of Christ or the light of the Spirit. But His power flows through you. Doubt will drop every power you got. You cannot doubt the Word of God. If you're a Christian, you stand on, you don't look at you because you're not the one doing it. It's Him who flows through you. The me and us should be set aside. We don't have to worry. the word of God never comes back void. Amen. If it goes out, it will accomplish what it's supposed to.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, an interesting thing. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You see, and here's what it is, friends. And we've shared this in previous classes. As believers, we're born of God's word. Okay? 1 Peter, I believe, 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And we're born of God's word. And in our walk here on earth, we are to do what? Grow by God's word. 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes, he says, what? Desire the sincere milk of God's word, that you grow thereby. And as you get into the word, as you learn of him, not just, oh, because I want to study, not just because I want to gain head knowledge, but because you want to know him more. Paul said that I might know him and what the power of what of his resurrection. But guess what, friends? That power, the power of the resurrection is not something external to you. The power of the resurrection is something that you now carry, possess on the inside. How? Holy Spirit, yes. What does Ephesians 1:19 say? Hallelujah. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus in raising him up from the dead? So that power, guess what, friends, is at work within you. And I'm not the one just saying this. I can throw the book at you. That is, I can open scripture after scripture after scripture. Ephesians 4:30. Sorry, did I say 4:30 or 3:20? Unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what?
The power
that works
in us.
Maybe it's not clear. Maybe should we take a look at it? Todd, would you come? Hallelujah. I've asked Todd to just share. He has a couple of minutes here. To just share on something that transpired, I believe, last weekend. Brother, you have a couple of minutes. Okay. Please go right ahead.
Well, yeah, it was 10 days ago. I was cutting down this big dead tree. And yeah, to give you an example how high up I was, it was a 12-foot ladder, and there was an extension ladder, and I had it extended. I was up there, and there's four big, massive limbs. They're at least like this big around that I was cutting. And I had almost was fully extended all the way up there. I cut the first one, it went down good. Then I cut down the second one. It was going, everything was going smoothly. Oh yeah, before this, all of a sudden I heard God say in my heart, I had a harness on. He said, undo your harness. I'm like, okay. So I undid my harness. Now I was cutting it. Everything was going good. The limb was started to go down. All of a sudden, this big mass of limb broke off, swung up, and swung straight towards me. And there was another big limb right here, and so it would have crushed me. So I slid down the ladder. Then where the extension meets, it hooked my leg. And then my legs went in the ladder, full force, and it caught me. So I was upside down on the ladder, hanging from my legs. And Autumn and Jake, my kids, they saw it all happen. And they're running up. I do like a flip off the ladder to get off the ladder. And like Pastor Sean was teaching me, about first words are so important. In my legs and all that, I could feel stuff that didn't feel too good. But God saved me, you know? Mm-hmm. But I was just thought of what he said, how first words are so important. So I was like, I just started praising the Lord, thanking God that he saved me. And my legs are good and all that. I was just speaking good, positive things, God's word over myself. And yeah, I told the kids I'm okay. And then I finished the job. Yeah, I finished cutting down the rest of the tree because I wanted to show myself and everyone, I'm okay. Mm. And then, yeah, that night before I went to bed, I felt, like Pastor Sheldon was talking about, I felt that spirit of fear coming. You realize, Todd, I could seriously hear it saying, Todd, you know what you're going to feel like in the morning. Mm. I was like, as soon as I started hearing that in my heart, I was like, I just took authority. Like I've been learning, I took authority, started speaking to the fear, I rebuked it, prayed God's scripture over my legs and body that I was healed, and I'm going to wake up feeling refreshed and blessed.
Mm, amen.
And then, yeah, then the next morning, as soon as my eyes opened, that when I'm, I was like, how do I feel? I was like, okay, I feel great. and then I got up, and my legs, it felt, I was like, wow, I feel totally fine.
Right. Amen. So, hallelujah.
God's word really, there's power.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That reminds me.
Hallelujah.
I'm sorry. You know how we have these ice storms once in a while? Since he was talking about trees. You remember that one year, you're my witness.
Can we?
We had a tree coming across.
Brother, if it's okay, I'm going to start off with you next week. You're going to share exactly what it is you will have on your heart just now, okay?
I may have to work. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No worries. No worries. But we're out of time, and I respect your time. Thank you so much. We're going to have it. Praise God. Awesome testimony. As we go forth, friends, let's what?
Do.
Do in faith, okay? Next week, we're going to address questions. What if fear comes in? The questions that we have, the real stuff, we're going to talk. We're going to open it up. We're going to start off with this testimony. We're going to open it up, delve right in, and see what God's word has to say in addressing all of those concerns, because the word has the answer. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Father, for your awesome power. Prayer team member, would you come, please? Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for healing made manifest. Thank you, Father, for the victory that is ours in Christ. Thank you, Father, for safety, for preservation, for deliverance, all the things that we have by your Son, Jesus, by and in your Son, Jesus. We give you praise and glory, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise
you. Thank you, Father, for causing us to just triumph in every place. If there's anyone here dealing with a matter, a concern, health issue, I'd love for you to just come forward at this time. Take advantage of this time. Join up with the former here or myself. I'm going to remain up front. And we're just going to join with you in that regard and speak life to that situation. And you get to see change. You get to see impact as by the power and the spirit of the living God. All right. Praise God. Praise God. We're dismissed in time for a service at 10:45. Praise God. Hallelujah.